Rogers from Oakley. This is the Rorschach Arctic Update from the 30th of December, 2025. A quick summary of what's going down north of the Arctic Circle. No matter how much we think we understand the Arctic, this vast region continues to astound humans. According to the magazine Scientific American, researchers have investigated the deep sea floor off the Greenlandic coast, which is covered in Freya hydrate mounds, structures made of crystalline methane gas. The scientists discovered an incredible ecosystem living among these mounds, over 2 miles, about 3,600 meters deep. Living among the mounds are a host of animals that do not need sunlight or to eat to have energy, as they feed on inorganic chemical reactions taking place at the mounds. This amazing discovery shows why protecting the Arctic seafloor is so important. We don't know what lives down there or how important it is. It's the season for scientific discoveries, with science news outlet Science Alert reporting on Thursday the 25th about the unique color-changing habits of the reindeer. And we're not talking about Rudolph. Reindeer's eyes change colors as the season changes. In the summer, reindeer have golden eyes to reflect the long, bright Arctic summer days. But in the winter, their eyes turn a deep blue color. The dark northern winters turn the whole landscape a dark blue, and by changing their eye color to mirror this, reindeer are better able to absorb blue light, giving them better visibility even in the months of continuous night. Reindeer are doing their best to adapt to the changing Arctic, but some Canadian populations are struggling. Canadian broadcaster CBC reported on Friday, the 26th, that the Global Initiative on Ungulate Migration has published 2 maps showing how the Bathurst reindeer population in Canada's Northwest Territories has changed its migration patterns due to rapid population decline. According to the map, in the last 30 years, this population has shrunk from 400,000 animals to under 8,000, while human infrastructure like roads and mines has increased within the animals' habitat. Coupling human encroachment with a climate change means that areas for feeding and breeding have largely disappeared for this reindeer population, and now they only live in a small area in a corner of the Canadian North, hoping to make it through another year. The plight of the reindeer isn't stopping Canada from its Arctic development projects. On Tuesday the 23rd, CBC reported on how the political leaders of Canada's Arctic territories are touting the benefits of an Arctic economic and security corridor that could transform the economic future of both the Northwest Territories and Nunavut. The proposed project would create a 230-mile or 370-kilometer-long road stretching from Nunavut's north coast to Yellowknife, the capital of the Northwest Territories, connecting many remote communities to the ocean, increasing their economic opportunities. It should also boost defense, creating a new port which can allow greater access for vessels like Canadian Coast Guard ships and submarines, as well as plane access on the proposed airstrip. An Indigenous community is already receiving benefits from Canada's northern development, but not without controversy. According to the local newspaper, the Wrangell Sentinel, members of the Tahltan Nation on the border with Alaska recently voted to approve a deal with Skeena, a Canadian mining company that hopes to revive a huge gold and silver mine called Eskay Creek, which stopped production in 2008. Skeena has promised to pay each member of the community over $7,000 and hire locals to work in the mine, which tipped the vote in favor of approving it. But some Tahltans aren't happy. Louis Wagner, a native community member, told the newspaper that the local Inuk River is already seeing less fish and wildlife, and this mine may harm their traditional hunting and fishing grounds beyond recovery. Alaska is betting large on Arctic development. According to a report from Wednesday the 24th by the environmental news agency GRIST, a long-planned natural gas pipeline to connect northern Alaska to shipping routes in the south is facing an enormous cost estimate, ranging from $44 to $70 billion U.S. dollars. The pipeline was first proposed in the 1960s, but has been too costly for any company to build so far. The Trump administration has reportedly spent approximately $600 million U.S. dollars into planning, designing, and permitting, but just like in decades past, no energy companies have been willing to spend the multi-billions on one of the largest infrastructure projects in U.S. history. To read the history of this project, check out GRIST's reporting with the link in the show notes. The U.S. government is increasing its investment in Alaska's military, too. On Thursday, the 25th, news agency The Alaska Beacon wrote that the U.S. government's new defense spending bill includes hundreds of millions of U.S. dollars for several new Arctic defense initiatives. Alongside a pay raise, soldiers and Coast Guard members in Alaska will receive a special bonus, a round-trip flight home each year, to improve morale for service members stationed far from home. The bill also includes millions for new cold weather gear and funding to reopen the U.S. Navy base at Adak, located in the western Aleutian Islands. The accelerating rate at which the Arctic is changing poses an important question. What is against the law in the Arctic? The rest of the world has clear laws about land and sea, but the far north lives in a difficult legal area as it shifts from solid to liquid throughout the year. In a piece written by Brett Simpson for The Atlantic, published on Friday the 26th, he writes that current governance is unsuitable to adequately protect the Arctic, and that sea ice should be given the highest possible legal status, similar to how other nations have written environmental rights into their constitutions. Sea ice is currently disappearing faster than the world can create laws to save it. But if the Arctic nations can agree on granting ice its own legal right to exist, the framework to save the Arctic might finally be in place. To read this article, freely available and in English, take a look at the link in the show notes. Getting Russia to agree on sea ice protections may be difficult as the country continues to focus on its shipping industry. On Wednesday the 24th, Bloomberg reported that Sovcomflot, Russia's largest shipping company, has received Russia's first domestically built ice-class tanker. This is an important development as it proves that Russia doesn't require international assistance to build its own icebreakers. With Russia still under massive international sanctions, finding cooperative nations to build their ships has been impossible. The new icebreaker, the Alexei Kosygin, is the first of three Russian-made icebreakers to come by next year and boosts the country's hopes of being the dominant marine force in the north. Let's go over to Norway, where an argument over sharing money is plaguing the football league. In a story published by sports news agency VG on Wednesday the 24th, clubs in Norway are arguing over $7 million in payments from the European football body UEFA to the Norwegian football body. This money has largely come from the success of the Arctic club Bodø/Glimt in European competitions. Under UEFA rules, the money can be shared among clubs in Norway's second tier, but only if three-quarters of clubs in the top division agree. That threshold was not reached, with five clubs voting against sharing the funds. Critics from clubs in the second division argue the decision undermines Norway's tradition of sporting solidarity, while opponents say the money should stay with the clubs that earned it. At least in Finland, they know how to share. On Monday the 29th, Reuters reported that Finland's Arctic soldiers are conducting a six-week training exercise with the British military, teaching the Brits how to survive Arctic conditions that can reach minus 30 degrees Celsius or minus 22 Fahrenheit. Among the skills being learned are fighting while on skis, keeping warm without a fire, and even swimming in ice-cold lakes. With military tensions increasing in the Arctic, soldiers from around the world may need to practice surviving in the far north. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. Before we head out, we just want to wish you an awesome 2026. Thank you so much for listening, sharing the show, and being part of the Rorschach community. Mana!